As many of you know, I have worked and continue to work in the computer industry, and it has, since inception, touted their ability to save humans time and work. After 25 years of working on computers and sitting down with individuals, making the computers do exactly what they want them to do, often but not always, to their delight and satisfaction, I wonder, and I have one question. What are people doing with all the extra time that computers save them? Some of you are laughing and smiling because you know I jest. Again, I realize that some of what computers do is save you work and also do some things such as maybe web or video work that cannot be done without a computer. So I understand that. I was in Texas this last week at the church office working on all these time-saving devices. It makes me ponder and think about my actions, of course. I think of all the free time that I've saved all these people. And I use a computer myself. I can't imagine life without a computer. But I wonder how much free time computers have given me. Or I also wonder if I would have more free time if computers weren't readily available in my lifetime. In my life now, after selling a business, I do have more free time than I've had in 20 plus years. I ask myself, what am I doing with my time? Do you ever ask yourself that question? Or maybe you might say, what am I doing with my life? Am I using my time wisely? My father often told me, son, he said, son, you have 24 hours in the day just like everybody else. It's a matter of how you are using those 24 hours. I recently saw a video clip about time. I'll read you the script from that video. The narrator had a cool foreign accent, which if I tried to imitate, you'd just laugh at me, so I'll refrain. He said, when asked, what's the biggest mistake that we make in life? The Buddha replied, it's always a Buddha, I don't know why the Buddha always answers first, but the Buddha replied, actually I think it was the Buddha that first said that men are uncomfortable in wet underwear. Wasn't it Buddha that said that first? It's always more fun to speak second than first. This is for whatever reason. The Buddha replied first. He responded profoundly, the biggest mistake in life is that you think you have time. He says, time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's lost, you can never get it back. We'll ponder these points today. Let me repeat them. It says the biggest mistake in life is that we think we have the time. Time is free, but it's priceless. You can't own it, but we can use it. And we can't keep it, but we can spend it. And once it's lost, you can never get it back. Do you consider time to be priceless? If you're young, probably not. If you ask any older person in this room if their time, their memories with loved ones is priceless, I will bet that they will wholeheartedly agree. Today we're going to talk about time. Let's look first at a couple of scriptures that confirm that God has something to say about the subject, and then I'll present a couple of points that may help you and help me. It'll remind you and it'll remind me to use the time that we have effectively. The Bible's term for today's subject might be redeeming the time. The Bible tells us to use our time wisely and with great care. Let's turn our Bibles to Ephesians 5 and verse 16. It's a succinct scripture. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 says, see then, in other words, look, beware that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. So to redeem the time means to make the most of it, to invest each minute in quality activities, not silly things. It means to understand that our life is composed of time and we have a limited amount of time available to us to achieve certain goals. You can also put in your notes 1 Peter 4 and verses 3 through 6. Peter there, 1 Peter 4 verses 3 through 6, Peter there writes that we will give an account to God for the way that we use our lives and for what we accomplish. What will we be able to tell God in that sit-down session? Will we have to tell him of the hours wasted in mindless and destructive entertainment, or will we be able to show character development, maybe show spiritual growth, maybe time spent with him, time spent with fellow man? How sad would it be to have God say, really? That's all you've accomplished in your life that I gave you? A Life, Hope, and Truth article recently brought out that although God is not controlled by time, we humans are. God puts great emphasis on time. He, of course, is always punctual. May not seem like it to us, but he is. He acts at the right time. He's also set aside certain times that he has blessed for our benefit. Of course, I'm talking about the weekly Sabbath, the holy days. Sabbath starts and stops at an exact time. I think to myself sometimes, I work up to sundown. I try not to do that too often. It worries me, as God was very specific, so it must be important to him when Sabbath starts. If time and timing were not important, he would not state start and stop times, I don't think. He wouldn't give us specific days to observe certain things. God, I believe, is very regimented, and things are done on a schedule and on rotations. I try to take a clue to that in my own life. Tammy and I do best on a schedule. We get on a schedule. Of course, we fall off a schedule. We readjust it, and we do it well for a while. It's a continual goal for us to be on a schedule. It helps us keep certain priorities. And I am convinced that God created time as a tool for us to use. It can be a tool that hurts us, or it can be a tool that helps us grow. I guess the question is, how are you using the tool called time? Is your time helping you, or is your time hurting you? I know we're all busy. I think for the most part, we're very industrious. We work hard. This message is not about working hard. It's rather about working smarter and encouragement to ponder and examine and adjust how we are using our free time. You may say, what free time? I look at many of you, especially those of you with little ones at home, and I agree, there's less free time. But are you, and am I, using those little slivers of free time in the best way possible? I know you mothers may say the only free time is that when you sneak off to the bathroom and you close the door. And even then, there's probably a little finger poking out underneath the door and a zillion questions coming through the door. I remember those times, or I remember my wife telling me about them. I don't know. Seems like they don't bother the guys as much. I don't know. But I also know, we and I included, we often take our phones into those same small rooms and we waste maybe our few minutes of alone time. Our phones that are with us can keep us busier than we realize. Again, I'm talking to myself. I'm glued to my phone as much, if not more, than others. In regard to our time management with a godly perspective, perhaps I can remind myself and remind you of a few points and a few points to think about how we are using our time. Point number one, if you're taking notes, I'll give you, I think, 4 points. When thinking about godly time management, point number one would be to remind ourselves of our main purpose in life. Again, use your time for that main purpose. We need to, at times, to step out of the forest, step back from our businesses, we step back from our jobs, step back from our kids, and no, mothers, I'm not talking about stepping back for 2 weeks. Maybe just for a little while, spend a few minutes and remind ourselves of our main goal in life. I know I perhaps oversimplify it, but I tell myself and I tell others that we are here on earth to grow in godly character and make it into the kingdom of God. Again, I know there's more to it than that. And I know that paying bills, raising kids, keeping my wife happy is important. But first and foremost, I need to use my time to grow in godly character because I want to be in the kingdom of God. Nothing else matters. That is my main reason to get out of bed every morning. Let's remind ourselves of that, Hebrews 2 and verse 10. I think it probably goes without saying, but it's good to give scriptural backup. God wants us to become His children and to be like Him. That's His main desire. The title in my Bible in Hebrews 2 says, "Do not neglect salvation." In other words, don't forget about it. Right above verse 10, which we'll read, says, "Bringing many sons to glory." It says, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings, for both He who sanctifies and those who are being sanctified, for all of one, for which reason He is not ashamed to call them brethren." So one of God's main goals for us is that we become a family member, to become like Him, to become a son. Let's also turn to 1 John 3 and verses 1 through 3. We'll read one more scripture on this point before we move on. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says something similar. First John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him." Verse 2, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself," in other words, works on himself, "just as God is pure." So again, point number one in our godly time management goal is to remember that our main purpose in life, as we examine our use of time, remember the main purpose in life. Point number two is to set priorities regularly. Three words. Set priorities regularly. This is point number two. A leadership expert in a writing entitled Master Time Management from Inside Out says, and I like the way she says it, she says, "To master time management is to set priorities among your goals. There is never enough time to do everything, but there is always enough time to do what is important." Says there's never enough time to do everything, but there is always enough time to do what's important. I like that, as it totally rids and nullifies that "I'm too busy" excuse that we all like to use. Like Dad said growing up to me, that you have the same amount of time as everyone else. The question is, are we spending the time in the morning or every day to consciously determine what is most important? Maybe something that you think you have to do, You may have something that the kids have to have done that day. No problem if so. If today's the day to register your child for school, it has to happen today. But every day, that same child doesn't have to be priority number one. To become more like God, we need to learn to have, of course, His priorities. We need to learn to use those priorities to produce a plan for improving our lives and, of course, aligning them to God's desire for us. We need to put those plans in actions. God's priorities and plans, of course, always produce results, and ours can as well. The end of Matthew 6:33, a memory scripture for all of us, reveals that amazing thing about God's priority. Of course, it says to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then these other things will fall into place. These other things will be added to you. So if we put God, or we put what God says is important first in our lives, the other things that we need, the other things that we want, will be added to us as well. If we put money and things as equal or higher priority than God's kingdom or God's way of life, in the long run, we will most likely not have either one. We can't take charge of our time without clearly defining these priorities. We must schedule what matters first or what matters most, or of course it will be pushed out by the other hundreds of things that are urgent or the things that creep up each and every day or each and every week. I am old enough that I prefer paper and pen to write down these priorities. You may do it on your phone, you may do it on your tablet. Tammy has a task list on her phone. She uses it nearly every day. It works for her. In the morning, often over coffee, we will write down what is needed, what is a priority for that day. You can star, you can asterisk the high priority items. Again, you can have longer term goals. Flying home on Thursday on the plane, I wrote down my goals and my priorities in chronological order, my priorities for May. They're bigger jobs, they're bigger goals, bigger hopes. I write down my hopes as well as my goals on this prioritized list. I was able to cross off a hope or a dream yesterday. It's been a big one, a hope that I've been working on for about 5 years. And of course, it feels good to have it there and it feels good to cross it off. It's been on my goal list for 4 years, four years. It's not completely done, but a great hurdle was reached yesterday at 4 o'clock. Feels great, because I've had it as a written priority for years. Tammy and I have had a priority on both of our schedules since mid-January. It's been a dream of Tammy's for 3.5 years. We did small jobs on that goal every day, maybe only an hour, maybe 2 hours a day, sometimes 6 hours a day. We started on February 8th and we finished up around April 15th. Every day, I or she or both of us did a small portion of that goal. It feels good to have that done. It was a priority. It was a huge job. It was a physical thing, but we accomplished it. If you're going to use your time wisely and if you're going to meet your goals, whether spiritual, whether financial, whether physical, we must define them. We must write them down. We must be reminded of what they are. I'm convinced that you must regularly write them down, reprioritize them, and be reminded of them, because life is simply too busy and life will simply happen if you don't. In using our time in a godly manner, point number 3 would be develop a plan for those priorities. Develop a plan for those priorities. If you define your priorities, you need to have a plan to obtain them. If you're able to sit down with Jesus Christ, what do you think He would plan for you on a typical day? Have you ever thought about that? I think about different things like that. What kind of plan do you think He would write out for you? I'm convinced He'd have a plan for every day. He'd have a plan for every week. He'd have a plan for every year of your life. Are your plans equally defined? If you're taking notes, let me give you a few sub-points here on point number three. Again, developing a plan for those priorities. I think we should first have a, or I think we should first plan time for God. That's sub-point number A, or sub-point A. Again, this is all under our third point. Sub-point A is plan time for God. Of course, it includes time for praying to God. Turn your Bibles to Psalms 55 and verse 17, if you don't mind. It's a very succinct reminder. Psalms chapter 55. Psalms 55 and verse 17 says, evening, morning, and noon, I will pray and I will cry aloud, and he will hear my voice. Clearly says that we should have a planned time for God. We should be praying. We should have a plan to pray and get our prayer in daily. He also wants us to study the Bible daily. Study the Bible as the Bereans did. You can put in your notes Acts 17, verse 11. I happen to notice somebody put it on the back bulletin board. It says, these were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness, and they searched the scripture daily to find out whether these things were true. Acts 17, verse 11. Some of these subpoints were brought out by Mike Bennett. He's a writer in the office. Subpoint number B, plan time for yourself. May seem strange, we don't say that too often, probably. But subpoint B, plan time for yourself. Plan to rest and have recreation. It's something I'm trying to do better at. I don't always have the right balance. We must plan to relax and have some time for ourselves. Jesus took his disciples away from the crowds at times to try to reduce the amount of stress they had, to rejuvenate. Let's read that in Mark 6. Mark chapter 6 and verse 31. And he said to them, he said, come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while. For there are many comings and going, and they did not even have time to eat. I like to eat. I like this scripture. It says, you need to come aside, go to a place by yourself, go rest a while, go and eat. Take time to plan and relax. And take some time for yourself. Plan time for yourself. Subpoint C, plan time for family and friends. Relationships take a commitment of time together. Again, point C is plan time for family and friends. God, of course, gives us several examples in the Bible. God commands parents to spend time with their children. It goes vice versa. Parents should spend time with their children. Their children should spend time with your parents. It's one way you honor your parents. Let me read to you Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. It says, you shall teach them diligently. I'm sorry, talking about the laws of God. Commandments, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. In other words, as you're going about, as you're doing different things, spend time, include your kids or include your parents, include your family members. Plan time for family and friends. That was Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7. Again, there are times in your life when you have to spend money and resources to spend time with your parents or to spend time with your kids. Michaela flew home last night to be with her mom for Mother's Day. It's a time and financial sacrifice, but it's appreciated. I see many of you here in town to spend time with your parents. This last week, I drove 4 hours to be with my parents this week. I was in Dallas, and they happened to be 2 hours from Dallas on a visit. I only had a 24-hour window. I spent 4 hours, but I was able to sacrifice a bit of time. I made it a priority to keep up that relationship. I had a great time with my dad and my mom. We put down trim in a family member's house. It's important to God that we have a plan for our families. Those plans, of course, alter as we get older. They change. But we have to plan for family. Again, this point number three is developing a plan for those priorities. Subpoint number D is in David. D, plan time for work. The fourth commandment tells us that we should work, or that work should take place during the first 6 days of the week, so that we'll be ready to obey the commandment to not work on the seventh day. Again, I think everybody in this room is very industrious, knows how to work, but we need to plan time for work. I won't belabor that point, but plan time to work. I think we do that well overall. Subpoint number E, plan time for maintaining what God has blessed you with. Talking about our homes and our cars, and I guess our own bodies would fall into this point. Do you have a plan to maintain the temple of the Holy Spirit that God has given you? I think it's important to God. He gave us an example in Proverbs 24. Let's turn over there. Again, some of these things may seem simple and understandable, but if God preserves it in Scripture and puts it in Scripture in Proverbs 24 and verse 30, it, in my opinion, should be reviewed from time to time. Psalms chapter 24, I'll read verses 30 through 34. It says, I went by the field of the lazy man and by the vineyard of the man devoid of understanding. It says in verse 30, again, Proverbs 24. Sorry if I said that wrong. Proverbs 24 and verses 30 through 34. Verse 31 says, and there it was, all overgrown with thorns, and its surface was covered with nettles. Its stone wall was broken down. Verse 32, and when I saw it, I considered it. Well, I looked on it and received instruction. Verse 33, a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest. So shall your poverty come like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. So as this scripture refers, of course, to laziness, taking care of our blessings. I guess this scripture hits home to me. Again, many of you take great care of your homes and cars, not all of you. I know there's a balance. I'm still searching for it. Some of us need to spend more time on maintaining what we have. Maybe some of us need to spend less time and make sure our priorities are right. A common term in the building industry is what we call delayed maintenance. It's a nice term for what's talked about here in Proverbs 24. I've purchased 20 plus homes with a lot of delayed maintenance. I purchased one just this last week with delayed maintenance, so much delayed maintenance, we will most likely put the whole house in 2 40-yard dumpsters. It's a lot of delayed maintenance. Others have required thousands and thousands of dollars to get back up into a livable condition. Again, these are extremes, I realize. And for the record, I've also sold properties that I've owned for years that weren't very well maintained. I'm speaking to myself as well. The scripture in Proverbs 24 confirms that God is not a fan of what the industry calls delayed maintenance. Our homes should reflect God. When someone drives by and sees our home, it can be old, it can be new, it can be big, it can be small, but it should be neat and tidy and well kept. It should be clean and as good a repair as we can financially maintain. Again, I hope we have a plan to maintain what God has given us. And again, that can be physical things or our own bodies. Subpoint number F, have a plan time for learning. Subpoint F, plan time for learning. The Bible extols the importance of continued lifelong learning. Mr. Willoughby is a fan of the Proverbs. Proverbs 1 and verse 5. I like many Proverbs because they are very succinct. Turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5, if you would. Says a wise man will hear and increase learning. So in other words, he will hear it, he will read it, he will study the Bible, and a man of understanding will obtain wise counsel. You learn in a couple of different ways, or many different ways, but two is one about studying. In our case, studying the Bible is a great starting point, and also seeking wise counsel. To seek wise counsel, you of course have to ask the right questions, give them full information so that you get good counsel. Again, this point, time for learning. We can learn by studying ourselves, and we can also learn from others, surrounding ourselves or going out and obtaining wise counsel on various decisions. It's important, Proverbs 1 and verse 5. How do we increase learning? We study. We study the Bible and we study others. It's as simple as that. As we start to wrap up, let me give you one last main point, point number 4. Perform your plan with urgency and diligence. Point number 4, perform your plan with urgency and diligence. Perform your plan with urgency and diligence. So we've talked about time being something that's fleeting and some ideal ways on what to do with our time. And lastly, I think I'd be remiss if I did not encourage myself and you to do these things, our defined priorities, with a sense of urgency. I'm convinced that you must hustle in life and have a sense of urgency to get any job done. We must push ourselves. I recently put on a roof with a couple of guys. The lead guy simply cranked and pushed hard all day long. Even when he and all of us were tired, it was astonishing to me how hard he pushed, and we completed just before dark, right before we lost light, and right before it started to rain. We completed and we had success because the urgency was there, and it started at 7:30, 8 o'clock that morning. We, of course, all have urgency in the last 15 minutes of the day, and we all have urgency in our lives right before the deadline. It's easy to do. Right before lunch, I have a lot of urgency. But to have success, we have to push all the time, at the start, in the middle, and throughout. Every day, every week, whatever the time frame is, if you have a goal, push until you reach that goal. Again, I'm talking about spiritual goals as well. If we're working on a certain problem in our lives, keep pushing, keep having a sense of urgency. In other words, I have to solve this problem in my life. I've got to overcome that tendency, that bad habit. Likewise, in life, we have to have that same urgency. We have to have, or same urgency as we do when we have a roof open. You may know, or you've seen them maybe. Roofs used to have little 1x4s and 1x6s going across. Now it has 4x8 sheets of sheeting, they call it. 4x8 sheets of plywood there. And when you start taking off the rotten sheets, you start opening up big holes in the roof. You look down and there's pink insulation and there's a half inch of drywall. That's the only thing in between the elements, in between whatever rain may come in the living room. You have a sense of urgency. I've got to get this roof closed up. I've got to cover up the insulation. I've got to keep the rain out of the living room and off the couch. It's kind of a do or die situation. It's a type of mentality that I would encourage us to have. Again, it seems maybe a bit extreme, but there's an urgency that it's needed in all aspects of our life. To implement our plan that we've talked about in point three, we must maintain constant motivation, we must maintain focus, and we must maintain persistence in reaching those goals. Again, I know life throws out lots of distractions at you, and life has a lot of things that we can't control. If you're like me, so much of life simply happens. I often say that my life seems very prearranged. But God gives us a number of reminders and prods to help us see the urgency of returning to and working on our priorities and our plans. He tells us to count our days, to recognize how short life is and how precious every day is, that we should be making full use of our time. God wants us to recognize that every minute counts and should be used in a godly manner. God is diligent. He wants us to learn diligence and, of course, avoid laziness. Playing on our devices or maybe chilling and watching Netflix too much, I believe, could fall into that laziness category. Let's review three proverbs when we're talking about diligence. We'll begin to wrap up here with these three proverbs. I think we're still in Proverbs 1. We'll turn over to Proverbs 12 and verse 24. It says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be forced into labor. So the hand of the diligent will rule. Again, going back to our main priority in life, being in the kingdom of God, being God members, being kings, can look ahead to, if we're diligent, we will be in the kingdom of God. We will rule. Down later in that chapter, verse 27 says, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is man's precious possession. So if you can develop the habit, the trait of being diligent in everything you do, that will be your precious possession, it says. That's going to be a great value, a great treasure. And the next chapter over, chapter 13 and verse 4, the soul of a lazy man desires, but has nothing. But the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. Again, the Proverbs are very succinct, very straightforward, very easy to understand, in my opinion. The soul of the diligent will be made rich. So this last point of having urgency and diligence helps us with that management of even our free time. Again, we all have free time, and if we can use that free time in a diligent manner, we will obtain the short and long-term success, of course, that we all desire. As the saying goes, perhaps the biggest mistake that we can make in life is to think that we have time. Time, of course, is free, but it's also priceless. You can't own it, but you can use it. You can't keep it, but you can spend it. And once it's lost, you can never get it back. Brethren, remember our first priority in life. Set and review your priorities regularly and define a plan, or rather plans, so that you can diligently work and manage the time that God has granted both you and He has granted me.